Welcome to another episode of the Middlers Podcast. What follows is an interview with Shahriyu Falke Sumanvar, who's visiting the U.S. on her book tour. Her book, The Silent Film, is about her great uncle, the great Dadasaheb Falke, the father of Bollywood and the father of all Indian cinema. Please enjoy this podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of The Middlers. Today, we have with us an author, a person very close to the beginning of Indian film and Indian cinema, and we would love to welcome Shahriyu Falke to our Middlers episode today. Welcome, Shahriyu.
Thank you. Thank you, Yusuf. Thank you so much.
Shahriyu, you have recently written a book called The Silent Film about Dadasaheb Falke as an artist.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners about your book and what inspired it?
The book has been inspired, of course, by Dadasaheb Falke, who is my great-granduncle. He was a great genius, a great artist, and I thought it was high time something in English was written about his life, because though he's well-known as a national icon in India, because the National Film Award is named after him, and it is called the Falke Film Award, Dadasaheb Falke Film Award, nothing is known, not so much is known about his life, his struggle, and how he made his first film, particularly not in English. So I thought it would be a good idea to write this as a story, as a tribute to him. And I think in the final analysis, the next generation should know more about the Bollywood they love so very much. I mean, everyone all across the world is fond of seeing movies. And I thought it would be a good idea to write in English, which is, a wider audience for the book. And I hope people enjoy it. That was the idea of writing the book in the first place, as a tribute to Dadasaheb Falke for having given us this lovely world of Indian cinema, you know, which is the world over today. That's the book. Would you like me to talk about the book now? Let me say that it was introduced and launched by the Minister of Information and Broadcasting in India on 3rd of May this year, which coincides with the beginning of the celebrations of the 100th year of Bollywood, and also to coincide with the first Indian film released 100 years ago by Dadasaheb Falke, which was released in 1930. Of course, the film began being made and shot and all that in 1912. So now we are talking about a book that tells you the history of a slice of Indian history, which is 100 years old, the making of the first Indian film. And then, of course, the silent era of films is also there, because Dadasaheb went on to make 130 films thereafter in his lifetime. And
yes.
This is the book. Yes, Yusuf. I think it would be interesting for most people to read about how it all started.
Yes. And can you give us a little insight or preview into the book, as in specifically, how did Dadasaheb conceive of film as a medium for a unified Indian nation? Can you tell us a little bit about that context?
I could try, but the main thing was that Dadasaheb was a great artist, photographer, filmmaker, and in the year 1910, and one Christmas, he was, because movies were not unknown, silent film was already there in India in tented theaters. The Lumiere brothers were showing their films, and as also some American movies used to be shown in India in tented theaters, silent films. So Dadasaheb had seen films before, but one evening around Christmas in 1910, he was seeing, he had gone to the theater with his little child, and he was seeing a movie on the life of Jesus Christ. And Dada Saheb himself was so moved and touched by that movie. And, you know, as the movie went on, somehow, we cannot say whether it was clairvoyance or whether it was just something that moved him. He said, we must make movies in India about Indians and about the Indian gods. So he, when he first saw that film, he was a photographer, actually, because he had been trained earlier as a photographer. But he just thought he should have an Indian film about Indian culture, and how much more this kind of a film would be appreciated by the whole of India and pan-Indian audience. And that is why he thought of making the first Indian film. He determined he would make it as a Swadeshi venture, because that was the time that India was also a colony of the British, and we really didn't have anything of our own, as it were. Even the camera was not available in India. And that was his first inspirational moment. When he actually saw the movie on the life of Jesus Christ, he said, we should have a movie on the life of Krishna, where there would be Yashoda, there would be the Jamuna River, people would be in Indian costumes. And this is what he has written in his own words, documented in his own words, later when he was interviewed by people. And this is in our National Film Archive, which is recorded, that he wanted to make a Swadeshi film. Because at that time in India, I mean, whether it was a Muslims, Hindus, all of them, they were all rallying for independence. And he felt that this would be a very important thing in making a Swadeshi film, would really make a lot of difference to the you know, whole sense of pride of the Indian community. And that is how he conceived the first Indian film. And particularly he conceived it as a religious film, because when he saw the life of Jesus, he was a well-read man, you know, so he thought that any movie with a religious connotation would, because Indian women were in the Orthodox stage, I mean, nobody really came out of the house to watch movies and films or anything like that. He thought that if he made religious films, there would be they would become more popular in a shorter time. So,
Sherry, what was the reaction? What was the reaction to these religious images on film in his initial movies?
The whole Indian popular became so popular that people used to come from, you know, even in the rural areas, they came and the movies became widely popular almost immediately. That means it took every movie, like, for example, if you had any Lumiere brothers, any foreign production, maximum they used to run 2 or 3 days. But Raja Harishchandra, which was the first film, it ran for nearly for 3 months almost continuously in one or the other theater. And the later movies that Dada Saheb made, he made the first 3 or 4 films. And I mean, till 1917, it was only Dada Saheb Phalke on the scenario of the film making in the movie world. His films were so popular that people used to actually fling coins at the screen. They used to prostrate themselves on the, on the ground. And they were very, very popular. And people couldn't believe it. They used to come in bullock carts from rural hinterlands to watch this movie. And they got very good reviews. I mean, the press also, Yusuf.
And so, Shelley, you used this word Swadesh a few minutes ago. And for those of our listeners who are not as familiar with the history or the background of the word Swadesh, maybe you can explain that to them.
Swadesh means your own country, and the word that I used was Swadeshi, which means produced in your own country. So in those days in Britain, in India, Britain was, we were a colony, so all the goods were British. We didn't have much of manufacturing in India. And the clarion call of the freedom leaders who wanted home rule in India was that use only Swadeshi. That means we should use our own goods, try to manufacture our own. That is what is the connotation of the word Swadeshi. So Dada Saheb Phalke also in his writings has written that he wanted to make a Swadeshi film. That means he wanted to make an indigenous film, indigenous to India. It would be made by Indians. It would have an Indian story. And people could see their, you know, people in their own costumes, like the sari or whatever the conversations. And he saw this as a pan-Indian movie, because the subtitles that he gave to these silent films were in English and Hindi. And actually, Dada Saheb was a Maharashtrian. He was from Nasik in Pune and Bombay. And he could have thought that, okay, I will make it in my own regional language. But no, his vision was a much wider one, Yusuf. He always thought of it as a pan-Indian venture and a Swadeshi venture. That means an indigenous venture, indigenous to his own country.
You know, that is so interesting. You know, we're, and I know Bill and I share the same question about, you know, fast forward now to Bollywood and the trend in Bollywood right now and the westernization of Bollywood movies and how the appetite has changed and the tastes have changed of the viewers. But I think the background and the history that you bring to a lot of our listeners as to the roots of Indian cinema is really, at least for me, it's very enlightening and actually very inspirational, especially the Swadeshi aspect that you brought up. Bill?
Yeah, so this is very interesting. So in reading the silent film, I picked up on the theme that Dada Saab was appealing to an Indian consciousness to unify a nation that was not unified and was occupied. So that theme was one that was very powerful to him. Charu, can you say a little bit more about the way in which he may have contributed to India coming together? And if you could touch on how possibly this intense artistic passion that he had may have affected his personal life as a family man and as an individual. Can you say a little bit about that as well?
You know, Dada Saab actually he was first inspired also by Lokmanya Tilak. Now, Lokmanya Tilak was a leader of the first decade of the 20th century. That is, he was about 1906 to he died of 1909. He passed away, but he was the one who had coined this phrase: "Swaraj is my birthright." That means self-rule is my birthright, and I shall have it. And Dada Saab was very inspired by him. And he was later on, after he made his first film, the first person to ask him to write articles was Lokmanya Tilak, who actually also had started a newspaper called the Kesari in India, which had the writing. So Dada Saab wrote several articles in that. And in that, he had written how this medium of films would actually bring Indian culture to its own people in a very quick way. So the freedom fighters did use the medium of cinema. The film was shown, and then the talks were given about how India is one country, because it was such a widely flung country at that time, right from Rangoon to Sri Lanka, all these Ceylon as it was known then. This was all India now under the British rule. So this made a great impact on the films made a great impact. Dada Saab realized it, and so did Lokmanya Tilak and other freedom fighters who were fighting for home rule. They all realized very quickly that this medium would have a very powerful effect on our struggle for independence. And it did, actually, in a way, have a very great impact. But is there anything else that you would like me to say, Bill? That
Did his personal life suffer at all because of his intense dedication to his art and to his nation?
He had to give up his job, firstly. He was with the Archaeological Survey of India. And but in those days, you couldn't obviously be a government officer and fight for the Swaraj simultaneously. So he gave up his job, and he had to sell all his personal effects to start cinema. I mean, he was not a son of a rich man. They were all sort of middle-class people. So he had to sell his wife's jewelry to start the first Indian film. So the book has brought out how his wife sold her jewelry. He had to pledge his insurance, and whatever they owned, they gave to films again and again. And that is how the film industry was, in fact, first established in India as early as 1917. Otherwise, it might have taken us even longer to actually start making our own films. Maybe it would have taken another 20 years. As I have mentioned in the book also, that it's only after 19 after the First World War was over that things when normalcy was restored. Because you must remember, Bill, that this was the period of the first quarter of the last century was spent in wars only, right up to 1944-45, and we got our independence in 1947. So the entire period, the movie making process would have been much delayed. The first Indian film would have been much delayed had Dada Saheb not struggled. And actually, he had this obsession with making that film because he was he was very good at magic. He was a good writer. He was a good, very good artist. And of course, he was a cameraman par excellence. And he was determined that films would come to India, and they did. And other filmmakers also then began to realize that filmmaking was a great Bill, sorry.
Yeah.
I think the line
no
went kaput. Huh.
That's okay. We can edit it. No problem. So, Shreya, I want to tie this back to modern-day Indian cinema and Bollywood.
Yeah.
What would Dada Saheb Phalke say about the nature of Bollywood today and what it's producing and what value it's actually bringing to Indian society and the Desi diaspora in general?
I think Dada Saheb Phalke would be absolutely elated because, even then, I think in those days, he thought of it as a venture which should bring Indian culture to the rest of the world. In fact, a little known fact is that Dada Saheb actually took three of his films all the way to England and had private screenings of his movies in 1914. And he had even planned trade exhibitions in London with the help of his friends there. But unfortunately, because there was war and there used to be blackouts in London, they couldn't really have those trade exhibitions. But there were even an interest from America for prints of those films. So even then, back then, 100 years ago in India, when the society was pretty orthodox, Dada Saheb had envisioned this medium as an international medium to bring Indian culture to the world, to connect India to the world, and of course get connected with the rest of the world also. I think he would be immensely thrilled to see Bollywood and the rest of Indian cinema all over the world. And he always conceived of he always thought of cinema as being mostly about entertainment. He didn't think of it, in his writings, I'm quoting from him, because he gave an interview to the Indian Cinematograph Commission, which was led by the British I think it was 1939, it's mentioned in the book. And in this long interview, he had said that he did not, because some people would say that they would cinema would have a adverse effect on the morals of the people. But Dada Saheb said, cinema is, at the end of the day, it is about entertainment. And as long as people are entertained, they cannot be corrupted. It's only depravity has to be within, and it doesn't matter, as long as people are entertained. Cinema can educate also, it can entertain, and at the end of the day, it's a wonderful medium to connect yourself to so many people, right from the disabled to the deprived people in society. Everybody would benefit with this entertainment, and I must say that we have so much to thank, because right from little children to old people are entertained today, and particularly Indians all over the world. A little slice of India is at their disposal through the medium of Indian cinema, whether mostly Bollywood, I would say today, but even regional cinema from India goes everywhere on television and on the bigger screen also. So
absolutely.
I think Dada Saheb would absolutely have nothing to criticize about it, because anything that people enjoy should be available to them. He was not narrow in his views about the westernization of cinema, or he was not very orthodox in that respect. Even though most of his films were about the religious subjects, at the end of the day, he made many, many comic shorts, which is a little known fact. And unfortunately, not many many clips are available of those films. But he's made comic films which are like satires on elections, and there were some satires on wife having an affair with another man or something like that. So they were little comic film, comic short films, which were interspersed in all these movies also. So it did change society also in a way as time went along. And yes, cinema has to be up to date with the times. And I think we are now a global melting pot. So I mean, Indian cinema has come to Hollywood, and Hollywood has very vastly come to India also. So it's a merger that he would really, really be up where wherever he is. His spirit would be thrilled to see this great, this great arrival of Bollywood on the world stage, should I say?
Well, Sherry, we are definitely very thankful to Dadasaab Phalke, of course, for giving us cinema in South Asia and that part of the world, and bringing South Asian culture to the West. And, of course, we're very thankful to you for reviving our roots of our cinema and explaining the background and the history of how basically India has entertained the world at this point. So we thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Yusuf, for this opportunity. Thank you.